talk about be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, making your requests known unto God. Amen. And we talk about the peace of God, all these things written in the Word. Lord, help us to walk it out. Help us to live it. Help it to be real in our lives and not just words that we say. Turn into Genesis chapter number 32. Very familiar story to us. If you've been in church at all, you know the story of Jacob and Esau. The story of one brother, Jacob, a younger brother, that if you're not familiar with it, you can go back and read here in this section of Genesis, maybe backing up to like Genesis chapter 30 or something like that, maybe even a little farther back than that. And read the story of Jacob and his brother Esau, two twins, two brothers, apparently not identical twins, but yet born just minutes, seconds apart from their mother. How that the Esau being the oldest brother, oldest of the two, and Jacob obviously by default being the youngest by just mere seconds, however long it takes for twins to be born. But the story goes how that as in the womb, there was a struggle between the two, as Esau was being born, the scripture says that even Jacob, as he was coming from the womb, grabbed the heel of his older brother, almost in a thought of maybe even to pull him, excuse this, but to pull him back into the womb so that he might be the firstborn, because in biblical times it probably held more weight than it does today. There may be certain cultures where it does, but for the most part, nowadays it's just all, however, distributed evenly, I guess, between the family members, and being firstborn, good for me because I wasn't. I was the firstborn son, so maybe that is a good thing. But the only son. But back then, if you were the firstborn son, you received the big sum or the inheritance of the firstborn, and it was very significant. You received the blessing of the firstborn. And the story of Jacob and Esau is one where Jacob was always, even though he was born second, was always the one striving after the firstborn blessing. And you've read the story or heard it at some point where when Esau was coming out of the field from hunting and was hungry and didn't have anything to eat. And there was his brother Jacob by the fire, and he had this little pot of porridge, I guess we'll call it. How that the scripture says that just for one little pot of porridge or soup, well, I like to call it soup, that's kind of how I identify it as, however it really was, but the scripture says that he sold his birthright to Jacob just over one little bit of soup. Basically, it was this: he was so hungry that Jacob said, okay, you want some soup? I got soup here on the fire. It's good. He says, yeah, and he's famished, and so, okay, well, you give me your birthright. And if you read over to the New Testament scripture, you can find where Esau did not place the proper amount of value upon this birthright. He did not value it to the extent to which it was valuable. It had much more of a price than what Esau placed on it for one little bit of soup. And as time goes on, the scripture talks about how that There came a time when their father, Isaac, was growing old and becoming to the end of his life. And, of course, by the natural order of things, he calls Esau to him and says, my days are few. I'm getting to the end of my days, and I don't know how long I have, but go out, and I want you to kill an animal for me and bring it back and dress it and bring to me to eat, and I will give you the blessing of the firstborn. Well, Isaac's wife, her favorite was Jacob. And I don't know where it came about, but she runs to her son and says, gave him this information. And Jacob, she says, go out. And of course, they caught an animal, or I think it was actually just one there, a domesticated animal, and they offered it. They killed the animal, and Jacob himself, disguised as his older brother Esau, because the scripture says that he was hairy and Jacob was fair skinned. Well, they took some animal skins and put it upon Jacob's arm so that he, that must have been one hairy dude, wasn't it? That he thought to be Esau. So Jacob comes unto his father Isaac and says, "I am Esau, thy son," and he receives the blessing of the firstborn. Well, apparently once this blessing was given, there was no taking back. Once Jacob received the blessing from his father Isaac, he could not undo it. And so when Esau had returned from the field to receive the blessing of the firstborn that he felt he deserved, which he had already sold for a pot of soup, he goes to his father Isaac, and his Isaac said, "Who is this?" He said, "Well, I'm Esau." He said, "You can't be. I've already blessed you. You've already come to me." And they knew right away that Jacob had deceived them. His very name, meaning supplanter, had deceived them and had received the birthright of the firstborn. The blessing. It was not just stuff. It wasn't that they just received things, but they received a blessing. Amen. Now, a lot of times we'll take that for granted and say, well, you know, someone sneezes and we say, "Bless you." Or, you know, I've gotten to the point where I don't say that to everyone. I used to. But, you know, there's some people that really, you know, in their very lives, God can't bless. There's a lot of things going on in the world today that and people living in. And you know, I can't bless what God doesn't bless. So, you know, we ask God's blessings upon our life, and it means something. It holds weight. Amen. If we believe God to be in control of every situation and we believe his hand is working and moving in our lives, then we know that the blessing of God holds weight. And so along with things, with that blessing that Jacob received, was also a promise from God that his seed would be multiplied and blessed. He received the blessing that Abraham had received, that through his seed all nations would be blessed. Esau looks at his father and says, "Do you not have anything left for me? You don't have anything that you can give me?" And Isaac, his father, said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, there's a blessing, but you're going to serve your younger. The older will serve the younger." And we see that kind of all throughout Old Testament scripture over and over again. We see that whole thing playing out where the older serves the younger, or that the younger receives the full inheritance in place of the older son or older child in this situation. Well, as you can imagine, this didn't go over real well with Esau. And Isaac, their father, went on, because of his old age, he died. And Esau had already determined in his heart that when the time of mourning for their father was over, that he was going to take Jacob's life. He was going to kill him because of his deception and because of him stealing his birthright. Well, their mother once again heard about it. And she goes back and she warns Jacob, and Jacob has to flee out of the land, and he's gone for so long of a time. And while he's gone, of course, he marries, I guess it was actually his Laban's daughters, and of course they have a family, and this is still within, I guess, national Israel, or of the children of Abraham, I'll say, at this point. And so he raises a family, and he's multiplied, and God blesses Jacob while he's there with his uncle Laban. And then God speaks to Jacob and says, it's time to go back. And so Jacob gets all his things together, all the multitudes of animals, beasts, wives, children, all that he had. And he begins to return back into his homeland, where his brother Esau is there waiting on him. But during the trip, this is where Jacob has this vision. And he's there by himself one night, and he, scripture says how that he took a stone and he used it as a pillow, and he sees this vision of this ladder. And the foot of the ladder is on the earth, and the top of the ladder is in the heavens, and he sees the angels of the Lord ascending and descending upon this ladder. This, it's almost like this connection was made between the heavenlies and the earthlies, that there was a ladder that was placed to where the foot of it being on the ground was on the earthly, but yet the top of it being in the heavens was of the heavenlies and in the realm where God dwelt. And there was this access that was made between the earth and heaven of these angels ascending and descending. And in this vision, this is where God spoke to Jacob and says, through your seed, all nations will be blessed. And so as after Jacob receives this dream, it's time for him to go back with his to his brother. And of course, you know, he has no idea what to expect. All he knows is that Esau was very angry when he left, and he has no idea what it's going to be like when he gets back. But one thing he does know, that God had made him a promise. That God had promised him that he would multiply him and he would become a great nation, just as he did his father Abraham as well. Now, I told you to go to Genesis chapter number 32. I want to read there. I want to start with verse number 24. Jacob has brought all these gifts for Esau. He has taken and he has separated his abundance, his families, his cattle, his goats, all that he has. He has separated them into two parties. And the whole reason he's done this is because if Esau attacks one, the other will survive. And there, when he's preparing this, he gets all these gifts ready, and he's going to make and give all this these things to Esau, trying to appease him or maybe to bring his wrath down a little bit so that he won't kill him and all of his family members. And as they looked out, they saw this party of 400 men coming their way, Esau's men. And of course, Jacob, the Bible says, was greatly afraid. And so he goes to the Lord. And before we read where I told you, let's just back up to verse 9 there of Genesis chapter 32. And the Bible says, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. This is Jacob's prayer. God, help me. Esau's coming down on me. I've got some troubles here. I don't know what to do, but I do know that you promised that you would multiply me. You promised that through the seed. He says, I'm not worthy to receive of all the abundance, the mercies, and the truth. So Jacob had apparently received some truth. There was something that God had revealed unto Jacob that he hadn't revealed to anyone else. He said, thank you for this truth that you've given. How many is thankful this morning for truth? Amen, that God reveals. I've got to think it had to have been that ladder. I've got to think that Jacob there with his head on the stone that day saw something that had never been seen before. He saw a vision, a dream of something that had never been experienced as he saw this access that was made between heaven and earth that no man had ever saw. He saw the angels ascending and descending upon this. And it's this, he said, God, thank you for this truth that I've seen. Thank you for this something. Now, he may not have fully understood it, but he knew that he had saw something. That even I wasn't worthy of this. Lord, you've promised this. You've promised me that my seed was going to multiply and be great in the earth. And here comes Esau with his 400. Lord, I need help. Amen. I mean, that's a good way to come to God when you need help. Oh, God, I'm not worthy. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for all you've done for me. But Lord, I need you today. And Jacob needed help today. And so he gets all these things together, these camels and all, and he tells his servants, says, listen, when Esau comes, so when he comes to your party, I want you to tell him, here's your servant Jacob has prepared all this for you. He's given all this for you. Now let's look at verse 24 there. And once again, we find Jacob alone. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. That's all we have. We no other information at this point. We just got Jacob alone waiting for whatever's going to happen between he and Esau. And then we have this all of a sudden here he's just he begins to wrestle with the man. Where'd he come from? I don't know. How'd he get there? We're not sure, but we just simply have him wrestling. Now, any wrestlers here? I know Nathan. Nathan wrestles. Nathan's a wrestler. And I don't know. I tried it once. I did it one time, Nathan. I'll never forget it. A friend of mine, his name was Ben, invited me. He was taking wrestling lessons. And so he asked me a long one. It was, I think it might have been on a Wednesday night. And I went there. And, of course, I was an athlete. I played basketball, baseball, and football and all these things. Wrestling, what's the big deal? And so I was a pretty big guy. I mean, I wasn't small. I was skinny, but, not now. But I was then. And so I went to this wrestling camp or wrestling thing. And so I'll never forget, I got there, and this little guy gets on the mat with me. And that's my first night, and they'd been there a while, and he'd been wrestling a while. So I'm thinking, I got this guy. I mean, little bitty dude. So I mean, I'm pretty big. I'm probably foot taller than him. So I'm like, well, why are they putting this guy against me? So I got ready, wrestling, you know. I got down ready to go. I seen it on TV, so I kind of knew how to stand. And so that dude, I'll never forget it. He swooped down, and he grabbed both of my legs and just pulled them out from underneath me and slammed me into the mat. I never went back. I decided right then wrestling was not for me. So however wrestling was, here we find Jacob. When I think of wrestling, you've got to get in there and get involved. You got to get intimate and close. And, you know, it's not like boxing. You can't stand a ways off and just, you know, tag them. You got to get in and, you know, get your hands dirty and get your hands around somebody and wrestle with them. So we find Jacob wrestling with this man that just appears out of nowhere. We don't know where he came from or where he's going, but we find Jacob wrestling with him. And it says, And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, or when this angel, or this man at this point, he's wrestling with him all day to the breaking, or all night to the breaking of day. How long is a wrestling match? 6 minutes. 6 minutes. But we find Jacob wrestling all night with this man. Now, like I say, I don't know a lot about wrestling, but I can tell you what, that had to take some determination. That had to take some strength, some resilience, some just stick-to-itiveness to just continue to wrestle with this man. And finally, this man saw that he would not prevail against him. And it says in Jacob, it says, when he saw that he wouldn't prevail not against him, this man just simply touched Jacob's thigh. Just touched it. It says he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So now, not only is Jacob tired from wrestling all night long and striving and working and sweating and tired muscles and all. Now he's got a leg out of joint. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So you and I, up to this point, we identified this man as simply a man. But somehow Jacob understood that this man had the power to bless. And he was so determined to receive this blessing that he was willing to wrestle all night until the breaking of day, even to the point where this man had put his hand on the hollow of his thigh and his leg had come out of a joint, but yet he still didn't stop. He said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. And this man says this. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Amen. So this man says, your name's no longer going to be Jacob, which is a planner or deceiver. He said, but your name's going to be Israel. It's going to be Israel, or prince of God, or to prevail or have power. The word means power. It means to have strength. And because you have showed strength and you've prevailed, your name is no longer Jacob, but we're going to call you Prince of God. And he says, and because of this, he said, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask of me my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Peniel meaning just simply the face of God. Jacob knew he had an experience that day. Now, I want you to make note of Jacob's response here. He says, I've seen God face to face, and I've been preserved. He didn't say, I've seen God face to face, and I prevailed over him. He said, I've seen God face to face, and just simply the touch of his hand took my leg out of joint, but yet the mercy of God, and he has preserved me. He could have taken my life at any point. He could have ended this struggle. He could have ended this wrestling match, but he had mercy upon me. And because of this, my name was once Jacob, but now it is Israel, the Prince of God. Now, when we think about this whole wrestling match, when we think about this situation that took place, find, if you will, the very short book of Hosea, as we're looking for that this morning, over toward the end of the Old Testament. If you got those nice finger things there, Stephen, you can find it pretty quickly. Hosea chapter number 12. And let's listen to what the prophet Hosea has to say. He brings up this situation that we just looked at. Of course, the prophet is prophesying here against Ephraim and Judah. It's in Hosea chapter 12. It says, and do you have it? Anybody need me to wait? Say wait a minute if you need me to wait. Got it. Hosea 12, this is beginning with verse 1 there. It says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. Or basically, Ephraim is making covenants with other people, other nations. So the Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. So here we find the prophet Hosea going way back. You know, this is some hundreds of years later, and he goes all the way back to the story of Jacob that we just read here over in Genesis. And he talks about this Jacob and this being representative of the whole nation of Israel. The whole nation of Israel became known by that name. They became a great people. We can read about them all throughout the Old Testament scripture. And it talks here in verse 3 about he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by strength he had power with God. By his own strength, by his might, by his sheer determination, his struggling. He says, your name shall be Prince with God because you have had power with God. He says, I'll give you power with God and with man. And God just did just what he said he was going to do. He made them a natural kingdom of a great nation, many peoples. They multiplied. You say, well, what does that mean to me this morning? What are you getting at, and why did we read that whole story of Jacob? Well, here's the good news this morning. When we talk about the Israel, and the angel spoke unto, we'll call him an angel at this point, and there are those that, you know, believe this was a theophany or God taking on the form of a man, and obviously to some extent Jacob was wrestling with God, and but here we find him. He says, listen, I'm going to bless you. Your name's going to be Israel. You're going to be a prince of God. A prince of God. What does it mean to be a prince? It means to have power. It means to have authority. It means to have privilege. When you're talking about being a prince, even, you know, it means that there's a ruling part there. Says you're no longer going to be Jacob, but you're going to be a prince. When we read throughout the Old Testament scripture, we can find how that God had set Israel apart, and basically any nation that touched them, God judged. Of course, we can also see how that God used other nations to bring about judgment upon his people, Israel. When they walked in obedience, blessing. When they walked in disobedience, a curse, judgment. Now, we won't do this morning, but there are several places we could go through, but Moses talked about it, and I think we looked at that a little bit last week, if you remember, when Moses was coming into his life, and he talked about all that they were going to do and how that they were going to forsake God. They were going to walk away from the God of Israel, the God of their fathers. They were going to forsake him. And because of that, judgment was coming upon that nation. And it did. And God did judge that nation. So there was a set of promises that God had given. Now let's go to Galatians. Remember what God told Abraham, what God told Jacob. He says, in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, in thy seed. Galatians chapter number 3, let's go there this morning. Galatians chapter 3, let's start with, we could read this whole chapter, but for the sake of time, we won't. I know we're running out of time this morning. But let's just start maybe with Galatians 3. Let's start with verse number 6 there. says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Look at verse 8 there. It says, in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. One thing that we can see occurring all throughout scripture is there's two Israels. There's the firstborn. There's the natural Israel. There's the nation Israel. And then there's the second. But you know who's going to receive the full inheritance? You know who are the true children of Abraham? Those of faith. You know what? There is only one set of promises this morning. There's only one nation. There's only one true Israel. There's only one Prince of God. And it only comes one way. If you remember when Jesus was there walking through the land and he was calling his disciples unto him, and there was one that had heard word that this Jesus was walking through and making disciples, and he heard that he was from Galilee, he said, or Nazareth, he said, shall any good thing come out of Nazareth? This man was by the name of Nathanael. When Jesus saw him coming down the road, he yelled out, he said, behold, a true Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile or no deceit. He basically meant this. There's a true Prince of God. There's the real. It had to be more than a natural birth. You're not from Israel just because you may be born naturally of the seed of Abraham. Jesus told the Pharisees that were standing around there and were relying upon their own natural birth that they were the children of God, that they were the Prince of God, that they were the Israel of God. And he told him, he said, don't think just because you're the children of Abraham. He said, I'm able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. But the whole message is this. The only way to become a prince of God is through the ladder. That same truth that Jacob saw there that night when his head was upon that stone, that same one that bridged the gap between heaven and earth. That same one that made the angels ascending and descending, which basically to me just means a ministering spirits that were able to come down and minister and go back up and just this open way that was made. Now you don't need me to tell you this morning, I know you know. Aren't you thankful the way is Jesus? Amen. That he's the ladder. That he's the bridge. That he's the one that made the gap between heaven and earth. He's the one that gave us access this morning that we could come into the presence of the Father and call on him and know that we, through faith in Jesus Christ, are the Israel of God, the true Israel. You say, well, yeah, I don't know. You're talking about those folks out there. I mean, that's the people of God. Well, skip down to verse 16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. So what are we talking about when we say promises? We've got a bunch of them, don't we? There's a lot of them in this book. And these promises that we read are to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. He saith not unto seeds. This is Paul clarifying this for us. He's not saying seeds. He didn't say. He said seed. He said singular, not plural. And as many, but as of one. He said, I didn't say seeds. He said to Abraham and to his seed. So the promises are to the seed. To thy seed, which is Christ. Now that's what we've been looking at over these last few Sundays. We've been looking at the anointed one. We've been looking at the Christ. We've been looking at Jesus. Amen. And that the promises in him, the scripture says, are what? Yea. And in him. Amen. See, we're talking about a firstborn inheritance this morning. We're talking about being the children of God. Amen. The scripture says that he, Jesus, was the firstborn among many brethren. And he received the full inheritance, but only through faith in him this morning can we be the princes of God. Can we be the true Israel of God? Jesus said, I'm able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. We're still in Galatians chapter 3, and look at verse 26. It says, for ye are all the children of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized under Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He carries on this same idea all the way through the book of Galatians here, but we'll just skip all the way over into chapter 6 there. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, which basically they're just signifying the difference between the natural Jew and a Gentile or a heathen. He says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Or the word, in other places, that word creature, it doesn't necessarily have to mean a being or anything. It's a new creation. So here's your new for you. You can take with you this morning when we're talking about coming into a new year. You know what? You've not only come into a new year, you have come into a new creation in Christ Jesus. He says, neither circumcision or uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creature or a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on thee and mercy and upon the Israel of God, or the Prince of God. How do we become children of God? Through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Amen. And with that, as Jacob was wrestling there with the angel, and he said, you've got power with God and with men. Just as, you know, I often think of how that, was it Moses, when he was talking about the children of Israel, he said, you know, the world had never seen that before. He'd never seen how God would take one group of people and call them out and place his name upon them and say, these are my children. He said they'd never seen that before. Anything like that had never been done. Amen. But now, through Jesus Christ, all nations, he says, through the seed, singular, as one, being Jesus Christ, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And so now you and I this morning, as we sit here, probably as far removed as a natural Jew ever was or natural Israel ever was, but because of Jesus Christ, we receive a full inheritance of the firstborn son through a faith in him. It's amazing when we dig into the Word of God and we see how it's all placed together. It's all planned. God has put it all, placed it together, and it's all pointed to Jesus. And as we already said, it is in him that the promises of God, not an alternate set. See, you've not come into something different. You know, God hasn't left, you know, this group and he's going to go with this group for a while. He says, listen, in Christ Jesus, there's one. He says, I'll make of the two, Jew, Gentile, one new man. One. Amen. One set of promises. One nation, the true Israel of God. And what is it? It's those that are faith. Paul says in another place there, he says, you know, talking about his day and those that were relying on their birthright, to say we're children of Abraham. And Paul said this way. He said, listen, not all Israel is Israel. Not I didn't, you know, how's that? How could all Israel not be Israel? That sounds sort of like a paradox. How is that even possible? Because I think when we begin to look throughout the scripture and see that the message of the remnant, there were those in that day that believed. There were those that there was a crying out coming forth. There was those that were crying out to God, save us, save us. And there was others that were still relying on their own strength to overcome and to have power with God. They were struggling and wrestling and, you know, all this and trying to rely on that. But then there was this group that come along and said, we're tired of the struggle. We're tired of the fight. We're tired of the wrestling with God. We need help. And Jesus says, I'm the ladder. I'm the way. Amen. You want the blessings of God? It comes through me. The one who was upon the earth and is in the heavens ministering. Praise the Lord. God, let us understand what we have in Christ Jesus as the true Israel of God. Somebody asked you, are you an Israelite? Oh, yeah. I'm a prince of God. I'm the true Israel of God. Well, how do you know? Because Scripture says I am. It says through faith in Jesus. It says there's no other way. And I receive the full inheritance. I'm not second rate. I'm not some second. But he's made of two, one new man. One new creation. Amen. If we've come into a new year, we've also got a new creation. It's in Christ Jesus. And it is, the scripture says it this way, it's an everlasting covenant. What does that tell you? It means the one that made it is going to keep it. Amen. That God has done his part. That God did the work. He finished it. I go to prepare a place for you. And I'll receive you again unto myself, that where I am, where was he? In the presence of the Father. There ye may be also. Where are we this morning? We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have access to God through the ladder that's been made. And we are the Israel of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your sweet, wonderful presence that we felt here already today. God, it's been so good, Lord, just to receive that ministering, Father, that only you can provide. The way has been made, that we have access to the Father, that we can come into your presence, that we can call on your name and pray. And Lord, that we are the Prince of God, that we are the Israel of God, that we have access, Lord. You've given us authority, Lord. You've given us power. Lord, you've given us privilege as your children. Thank you, Lord God. Let those things be in our life that should be in the life of a prince. Father, we pray that those things that a prince should not even have to struggle with, God, that we would overcome. Thank you, Lord, for being overcomers, more than conquerors through you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's all stand at our feet this morning. Thank you, Lord. Worship the Lord. Amen. And sing together.